Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Okay, move on in. So, Chassidus is based on Kabbalah, and Kabbalah is mysticism, and mysticism is, of course, the antithesis of empiricism and rationalism. And one of the most powerful parts of our rational reality is time, time and place. We all live in place, you're here now, you can't be what happened. Just look at
it. How? Look in the door.
Karen's firm, while you're Karen's firm, right?
I wish I
could say that. Yeah. Unfortunately, you look good. Manly. Okay. Anyway, so we're limited by space. We're here. We're not in South Africa. We're not in Melbourne. And we're also limited by time. It's now around 10 to 8. It's not 7:30. It's not... It's June 14th. Let's say June 14th. It's not August 17th. So we live within time. And of course, we don't just live within a date on a calendar. We live within our biorhythm, night, day. When you try to change it, you suffer jet lag. And of course, time doesn't just frame human experience, but it frames religious experience. So you daven shacharis at a certain point, you daven mincha, you perform the mitzvah of matzah, festival of Nisan, certain periods of the year. Of course, a lot of people don't understand why Hasidim don't always keep classic zmanei tefillah. So hopefully today will help you understand a little bit better how a mystic or makubal doesn't necessarily inhere within these limiting frameworks of space or time. Okay, so that's what we're going to try to understand today about Hasidus and about Kabbalah. I will understand it through the prism of the Meraglim. The big question in Parsha Shlach is, how could the Meraglim have erred so grievously, so egregiously? They were tzaddikim, they were nisim, or was there a mistake? So in general, in Chassidus in general, there's a tendency to try to moderate and minimize their mistake. They weren't as slanderous and as scandalous as the simple reading of the Parsha would suggest. Okay, so the Sfasemis begins by quoting several Midrashim, which I won't read with you, as to why the Jewish people have to wander in the desert 40 years. Probably the most famous one was because the rights and the zechuyos of the local inhabitants hadn't yet expired, so they were not yet ready to be vacated. And the Jews can only enter Eretz Yisrael once the local paganists are vacated. So the timing wasn't ripe for the Jewish people to enter the land immediately, because those generations had to reach the end of their natural trajectory. So the question is, and the Meraglim didn't make a mistake, the Meraglim didn't err. Because if they had to wait 40 years anyway, then the Meraglim were essentially synchronizing their message with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. So if you have all these Midrashim confirming the need to wait 40 years for all sorts of unrelated, independent reasons, what was the sin of the Meraglim? Okay, so he begins by quoting a pasuk in Koheles. L'kol zman v'eis l'chol chepetz tachas ha-shamayim. Everything in this world has its time based on Hashem's will. So there's a predetermined time for every historical event, for every human experience. Hashem has already allocated it. But that's just tachas Hashemayim. That's just in the human realm, in the terrestrial realm. Here's the key line. Achein lemala min tachas Hashemayim, beyond the limiting human biorhythm and time frame, there isn't predetermined timing. Namely, we live in a terrestrial cage, in a terrestrial rhythm. And that terrestrial rhythm has timing and schedule, and there's a proper time and place for everything. But above human experience, cosmically, in heaven, metaphysically, above the physical world that we inhabit, timing is irrelevant. Obviously, there's no time on Saturn. Time is just a function of where you are on Earth based on the rotation from the sun, based on the rotation of the moon, based on the rotation of... So above the Earth, there's no timing. Of course, it doesn't just mean astronomically. It also means metaphysically. In Shemayim, Malachim, they don't have time. Hashem isn't Chas HaShalom governed by time in the way that human beings are. The Jewish people, when they left Mitzrayim, they weren't just terrestrial. They were celestial. They were above time. They were beyond these limiting timing and schedules. They were part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Merkava. Mitzayis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez. So Jewish people, when they leave Mitzrayim, they're supernatural. They're not constrained by time. Therefore, they can enter Eretz Yisrael even without waiting for the proper time. There are two timelines. There are two trajectories. There's the natural trajectory of when Eretz Yisrael is ready for the Jewish entry, and that may be 40 years from now. And then there's the supernatural opportunity just to come into Eretz Yisrael whenever we're ready and we believe in Hashem, even though the timing isn't right because we're beyond time limitations. So in one time, imagine two time continuums. In one time continuum, Eretz Yisrael isn't yet ready for Jewish entry. But that's just the rational, natural, human-based time. There's another non-time continuum, which we enter whenever we want. Yechol zman v'eis tachas ha-shamayim. If you don't just inhabit tachas ha-shamayim, you're not limited by zman v'eis. You're not limited by those timings. All you care about is chefetz, Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. Again, let me read that pasuk in Kohelis again. Lechol zman v'eis lechol chefetz tachas ha-shamayim. There is a time that limits Hashem's will, so to speak, tachas ha-shamayim. But above the shamayim, there is no time that limits Hashem's will. So that was the mistake of the Meraglim. They said, we're not ready to go into the land yet because there are all sorts of dynamics and processes that are going to take 40 years to unfold. The Jews aren't ready, the local inhabitants aren't ready to be vacated. They should have realized, wait a second, the Jewish people, they're above time. They're supernatural. As long as Hashem wants, they can enter the land. What do Kalev and Yoshua say to try to convince the Jewish people? Im chafetz banu Hashem. Forget time. Just think about chafetz. Just think about Hashem's will. You're stuck in the pasuk in Kohelis. It calls man va'es l'chol chafetz tachas ha-shamayim. The chafetz of Hashem, Hashem's will, is limited by zman and es. That's just tachas ha-shamayim. We're the Jewish people. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu, supernaturally selected people. We inhabit a different sphere. For us, all we need is chafetz. We don't need time. We're beyond time. We just need Hashem's will. We can leap beyond rational, natural, human-based experiences. And that was the chet of the Meraglim. They weren't Hasidim. They weren't mystics. They were rationalists. He doesn't say this, but I'm articulating it. They rationalized. If we look at the state of Israel, or the state of Canaan in those days, people aren't ready to be empty, we're not ready to move in, all sorts of cycles have to unfold. They shouldn't have thought through rational, empirical functions of time. They should have said, we're beyond time. We inhabit a cosmic realm, not tachas ha-shamayim, but me'al ha-shamayim, which all it is chayfetz and not zman v'ais. And that's what Yoshua and Kalev were pleading with the people, im chafetz banu Hashem, forget about timing. Hashem wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael, and that'll be beyond ration. So now you realize why. If you go over to a chassid and say, how could you daven shacharis at 11:30? It's not zman tefillah. They'll look at you like you don't know what you're talking about. They'll scoff at you. Oh, you empiricist. You're so limited by time. Try to leap beyond time. Try to leap up to Shemayim. All I care about is chefetz. Hashem wants my tefillah, and my tefillah is deep enough, I can elicit that desire and that interaction that won't be limited by time. Because in the mystical world, above Shemayim, not in the rational terrestrial world, it's driven by chefetz, not by zman v'ais. And that was the error of the Meraglim. Okay, so a little bit of a different perspective on time. Hopefully you can rethink to yourself how we live in time. It's so much in the background, and it's such a controlling force of our life that we don't even recognize it. It's indiscernible. And every once in a while, you stop and you think about time. Wait a second. How do I interact with time? Sleep is one interaction with time. Wasting time is another interaction with time. Hopefully this year, time management, you've learned a little bit about how you interact with time. It's so invisible and it's so powerful you don't think about it, but this makes you think about it a little bit more. Even if you're not a mystic and you don't supersede time or transcend time, what does time mean to you? Okay? Have a timely day, everyone.